Something I've mentioned before, and I like to mention it because it's important to me. I think most of us, if not all of us, believe that we're in the last days, right?
Yeah.
I mean, well, I think everybody really thinks the Lord's coming back soon. And something I've talked about before, you know, when I was in school, and I've always seemed like I was the second string, you know, when we were wrestling. My high school had a great wrestling team, and they all won state champions. We had like 7 or 8 guys actually won state, the team won state. So, and I was just a second string, maybe even a third string wrestler. But, you know, the Lord has no second string. Nobody warms the bench around here. We're all first string. And that's something we need to realize, especially in these end times, you know. You can't say, well, somebody else is going to do that. Somebody else is better qualified. We're all qualified. In fact, something else I've talked about is that in these last days, you know, we're the anchor men. You know, we're the anchor men and the anchor women. The anchor people who run the last lap, they usually are the ones who are the best on the team. You know, if you remember Michael Phelps, he swam the anchor. If you remember, what's that guy's name, Usain Bolt, when he ran for his country, he ran the last. He ran the anchor. So we're not only first string, we're the anchor men. And these are the last times. So, you know, what I want to talk about is going through fiery trials. It's, you know, Pastor Rusty has been talking about that, but I'm going to look at it from kind of a different point of view. You know, if you're the best of the best, you're the anchor, then you got to expect fiery trials. And we are chosen to run this last lap. So we got to expect people to talk against us, you know, to say that what we're believing for is impossible. But we trust the Lord. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to look at the account of the Jews or the nation of Israel, the children of Israel going into the promised land the first time, but they didn't get in. They didn't go in. You know, in Numbers chapter 13, it starts out where the Lord spoke to Moses and said, "Send thou men that I may, that may search out the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel." The Lord had given the land of Canaan to the children of Israel. So he told Moses to send out a spy, one from every tribe. And these men that were sent out, the scripture says everyone was a ruler among his tribe. They were the heads of the children of Israel. And then they sent out, you know, one from Reuben, and then one from Simeon. The tribe of Judah was Caleb. Caleb came from the tribe of Judah and Issachar. Ephraim was Oshea. Well, that was actually Joshua. Oshea means deliverer, or the one who saves, you know, a savior. But Moses changed his name from Oshea to Joshua, which means the Lord saves, or Yahweh saves. Amen. And there was a slave sent out from each of the tribes. And they were sent out to spy the land and to see what the land was like, you know, whether the people were, you know, verse 18, chapter 13, verse 18 says, to see what the people that dwell there were like, some whether they were strong or weak, whether the land was good or bad, whether the people lived in tents or whether they lived in strongholds. So in verse 20, Moses says, and, you know, be of good courage and bring the fruit of the land. Now it says the time, verse 20 tells us that the time was the time of first ripe grapes. So this was the time of first fruits, which is probably around late May, early June, the beginning of the summer, when they celebrated the feast of first fruits, the feast of the Pentecost. So the man went in, the men went in, and they searched out the land, and when they went to the brook of Eshkol means cluster. They named the brook Eshkol because they took a cluster of grapes there that was so big, they put it between two men. So two men had to carry a bunch of grapes. That's a lot of grapes. That was a good harvest, a good land. The land was fruitful. So they came back and they had the grapes and the pomegranates and the figs. And after they returned, after 40 days, they came back to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel. And they showed them the fruit of the land. They said, "This is a good land." In fact, that's what they said. They said, "It's a land that flows with milk and honey." It was what the Lord promised. It was all that the Lord promised. But verse 13:28 says, "Nevertheless, the people are strong, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." So these were giants. There were giants in the land. But verse 30 tells us, "But Caleb stilled the people." He quieted the people. Here, that these spies came back and they said that the land is all that the Lord promised. It's fruitful. It's a beautiful land. It flows with milk and honey, just as God promised. But, you know, the people are strong. In fact, they're giants. And the city, they're strong. But Moses, you know, when Caleb tried to quiet him, he says, we should, in verse 30, it says, he stilled the people before Moses. "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Right away, Caleb says, "Let's go in and take the land." But verse 31 says, "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" And there was 10 that brought back an evil report. Joshua and Caleb brought back a good report. Caleb said, "We can take the land." But the other 10 said, "We can't take it. We can't take it." It says the land eats up its inhabitants. The land devours the people. And all the people that saw the men were great in stature. The people were giants. He said, "We saw giants. They looked like giants to us, and we looked like grasshoppers. We looked like bugs." And he said, "We looked like bugs to ourselves." And then the last part of verse 33 says, "So we were in their sight grasshoppers too." So we thought we looked like grasshoppers, and they thought we looked like grasshoppers. Well, verse 14, chapter 14. I want to spend most of our time in chapter 14. It says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron." You know, they believed the bad report. They believed the evil report. Instead of believing what Caleb said, that they could take the land, they believed the 10 spies that brought back the evil report. And if you read in chapter 14, they say, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. It would have been better for us to have died in Egypt. Or would God that we had died in the wilderness. It would have been better for us to die in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? We're going to be killed by the sword if we try to take this land. Our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt?" To go back to Egypt. You know, sometimes when we are going through trials, we think, well, you know, what is the Lord trying to do to us? Maybe I should go back to the old way. Maybe I should go back to the world. Go back to the world's way. In verse 4, says, they said to one another, "Let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt." They want to go. Here they are at the gate of the promised land, and because of the evil report of these 10 spies, they're refusing to go in. And it says, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of Israel. Moses and Aaron just fell on their face. They said, God has promised a beautiful land, and we have this land. And they fell on their faces before the people. They were so upset. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, they rent their clothes. They tore their clothes. Have you ever felt that way where you know the truth and you're sharing it with a loved one and you know the truth and they just won't receive it. You want to bang your head on the wall or something. You know, you want to say, why don't you listen to me? That's how they felt. You know, verse 7 says, they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search is a good land. That's what Joshua and Caleb say. It's an exceeding good land. It's a great land. It's all that the Lord promised us. Verse 8, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. So the Lord's promised this land. All we have to do is go in and take it. But because of the giants, because of the evil report of these 10 spies, they wouldn't go in. Verse 9 says, only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people. For they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Joshua and Caleb tried to get the people to go into the land. They tried to give them a good report. But the people believed the bad report. Believed the evil report. You know, do we do that sometimes? We do. It's a shame. But sometimes we believe the 10 spies instead of believing the Lord and believing the good reports. We believe the evil report. Right. You know, somebody says, gives you a bad report, or your son or your daughter that you've been praying for, they're getting worse than ever. Or that sickness that you got, it's getting worse. Or, you know, you're never going to make it. They're firing people in your company. You're not going to be able to make it. Instead of trusting the Lord, we believe those evil reports. And when we believe the evil report, we don't have the rest that the Lord promises us. But when we trust the Lord, even though we're going through a difficult trial, fiery trial, which we know we're going to be going through, we're going to have fiery trials. But if we believe the evil report, we're not going to get the promise of God. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They believed the evil report, and they didn't get the land that the Lord promised them. You know, we're not believing for a promised land, but we have promises. We have promises from God. Amen. Promises of healing, promises of salvation, promises of provision and protection. So many promises are in the Bible. God promises so much to us. Amen. To provide every need, to heal every disease, to protect us from all evil. But when we hear evil reports, at times we back away from what God says and we start to believe the evil report. And then verse 10 and 11, verse 10 tells us, you know, when they wanted to, Joshua and Caleb wanted to the people to go into the land. And what do the people want to do? They want to kill Joshua. They want to kill Caleb. Verse 10 says, but the congregation bade stone them with stones. They said, let's get rid of these men who are preaching the truth, men who are preaching a good report. And you know what happened? When they decided to come against the men of God, the men, Joshua and Caleb, the men who brought the good report, guess who showed up? It says, and the glory of the Lord appeared on the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. The glory of God appeared. Here they were saying they wanted to stone those who gave the good report, those who were speaking the truth, those who were saying, God is faithful. What he promised, he's given us. And the Lord shows up. The glory of God showed up. And the Lord said to Moses, this is what God's saying to Moses to tell the people, how long will this people provoke me? How long will this people provoke me? How long will they scorn and blaspheme against what I've said? Could the Lord say that to us? You know, how long will we provoke the Lord? How long will we believe the evil report when we have so much to believe that's true and good, yet we often believe the evil report? And then it says, how long will they believe? How long ere? How long before they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? All the things that these children of Israel have seen. How long will it be before they believe me? That's what the Lord is saying. If you remember, what did the children of Israel see in Egypt? They saw how God sent plagues, 12 plagues, and the last plague was the death of the firstborn of all the people and things in Egypt. Then they had the Passover. They saw that, how the Lord passed over them, passed over all the children of Israel, and none of their firstborn died. And then they crossed the Red Sea, how they went through the Red Sea as if on dry land. Yet when the Egyptians tried to go through, the Lord let the sea close on them. As they were going through the desert, they got water from the rock. They received manna. They received quail. The Lord was leading them by a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. But they wouldn't believe the Lord. How long, the Lord says, how long will it be before they believe me? They've seen my power. They've seen my miraculous signs. But how long will they not believe me? You know, the Lord could say the same thing about us. It's a shame, but often we're like the children of Israel, and we murmur and complain and think it's too difficult. Amen. Think the Lord will never do what He's promised for me. The Lord's going to let me die. He's not going to protect me. He's not going to heal me. He's not going to do what He promised. You know, we're a faithless and perverse generation sometime. Amen. You know, like Jesus, when they brought the deaf and dumb boy before Jesus, and they said, we can't heal this young man. And then what does Jesus say to His disciples? He says, oh, you faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? How long shall I put up with you? You know, that's what the Lord is here saying, the same almost words. Jesus uses the same almost words that the Lord uses when He speaks to the children of Israel. And sometimes the Lord could be saying that to me, or worse. Have we not entered into the promises of God? You know, all that the Lord has promised us, have we not entered into that? We're His children. Well, verse 12 says, what happens? The Lord says, I will smite them with pestilence. I will disinherit them. And He tells Moses, I will make of thee a greater nation and a mightier than they. So the Lord says, I'm going to strike them with plagues and pestilence, disease. Then He says He wants to disinherit them. This was their promise, was to be the heirs of this promised land. And here the Lord says He wants to disinherit them. You know what it means to disinherit your heir? They were your heirs. They were supposed to inherit from you. And then you tell him you're not going to get anything. Well, that's what the Lord tells His people. We don't want the Lord to disinherit us. We don't want Him to not give us what He's promised us. We want to take those promises and receive them. Well, in verses 15 through 23, Moses asks the Lord to pardon the children of Israel. He's saying, you know, you've brought these people out of Egypt. If you let them die in the wilderness, you killed them here in the... What shall Egypt What shall Egypt say? So the Lord does pardon them. But he says they shall not see the land. They're not going to get into the promised land. They're not going to get the promise that the Lord has given them. So the thing that I'm want to just, I feel like oftentimes we have listened to the 10 spies. You know, our old sinful self listens to the 10 spies. And that old sinful self must die. Just like the, you know, if you're thinking, you know how many, when they counted the people, because the Lord said in the beginning of the book of Numbers, they were numbering the people. And there were over 600,000 men that were 20 years old and up, ready to go to war. Over 600,000 men. And every one of those 600,000 men, except for Joshua and Caleb, died in the wilderness. That's not, now the tribe of Levi, that they weren't counted. And they didn't, the tribe of Levi didn't send out a spy. So maybe there were some old Levites, old priests that, but if you think about it, when they did enter the promised land, Joshua and Caleb were the only old men. 600,000 of the men had died. And the way that I can kind of think about it is our old self is these old men. Our old sinful self is the old man, the old men. They have to die before we can get into the promised land. They have to die before we get the promises. And our new self, our new man, our born-again man, that's the one that inherits the promises. And you know what? Whenever you're trusting in the Lord, whenever you're believing in a promise of the Lord, whether it's for healing or for protection, that's the one, that new man, that's the one that's believing. The old man, he says, I want to go back to the world. The old self, the old sinful self, he says, I'll go back to the world. I'll go back to the bank. I'll go back to whatever the world can give me. I'll go to that, you know, the saved person says, I can't take that job. That's not a good job for a Christian. But the old sinful man says, well, I can take that job and I can live good. You know? And the old man says, if you don't take that job, you're going to die. That's what the old self tells you. You better take that job. If you don't take that job, you're going to die. Or you're trusting the Lord to protect you. And the Lord, you know, the old sinful man says, you better buy a gun or something. You say, well, I'm going to trust the Lord. The Lord's going to protect me. Or, you know, the Lord's going to provide my needs. The old man says, nah, you're going to die. And that's what the people of Israel, that's what the children of Israel said. Our children are going to die. Our wives and our children, they're going to die. But do you know who got into the promised land? The children and the wives. The old men died. They didn't get into the promised land. Amen. You know, you know, the old unbelieving self was fearful and faithless. It would not believe the promise. And the old self said that the born-again person, the children, would die. The old man says, your born-again self, trust in the Lord, and you'll die. You see, that's what the ten spies said. If you try to get into that land, you're going to die because this trial is too great. The trial is great. Even though the promise is there, you're not going to be able to do what you think you can do. You're not going to be able to get into the promised land. And that's what our old sinful self says, you know. If you don't take that job, you'll die. If you don't go to the bank, you'll die. If you don't take that medicine, you'll die. And you want to trust the Lord. The old man is talking to the new man. But the old man dies because of his fear and his unbelief. After the trial of faith, The new man is the one that's alive. The children are the one that's alive. But, you know, we read in verse 33, it says, "But your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted away in the wilderness." The born again self still has to go through some wilderness times. That's the trial of our faith, that we have to still go through the difficult time because of the doubt and the fear, the lack of faith of the old unbelieving self. Just like the old men, the men 20 years old and up, because of their evil belief and their bad report, they didn't get into the promised land. But the children of the men had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. They had to bear the sin of their fathers. So that's kind of what happens to us sometimes. You know, we didn't trust the Lord, and we have to go through a time of wilderness and hardship, bearing the doubt and the faithlessness of our old sinful man. You know, whenever we stand on a promise of God, there's a trial. There's a temptation for us to not trust the Lord. You know, there's a battle, there's a trial, the children of Israel had the promised land. It was right there, but there was a battle for them to go through. They had to trust the Lord, and they didn't do it. They gave in to the evil report, and they didn't get the promised land for another 40 years. You know, we're talking about this story in Numbers, but it's also in the book of Psalms. Return to Psalm 95. Just flip your pages over to Psalm 95. The last part of that psalm is referring to the same thing. You know, when the Lord puts something on your heart to trust in Him. Verse 8 says, Psalm 95, verse 8, "Harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation." For 40 years, these that didn't go into the promised land, the Lord was grieved with them until they all died. It says, "It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my rest, they shall not enter." Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. You know, if we don't trust the Lord and receive His promises, we do not enter into the rest of the Lord. We do not have that rest that we can have knowing that God is so faithful. Amen. That we can rely on His promises, that they're true. You know, I want to read this also in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3. Sort of the same thing that we read in Psalms. If you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 3. 3 and 4, we're going to look at both those chapters. Hebrews chapter 3, if we start with verse 8, it's almost the same that we read in Psalm 95. "Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. You know, God was faithful that because they didn't go into the promised land, they didn't receive the promise that the Lord promised them, they had to be in the wilderness 40 years. It says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Verse 11, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. That's what the Lord told the children of Israel. He swore that they would not go into the promised land. They shall not enter into my rest. So verse 12 says, take heed, brethren. This is to us. Take heed, brethren, brothers and sisters, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You know, we can't get an evil heart of unbelief. We have to continue to trust the Lord, to even through the trial, even though we have heard bad reports, even though people said, what you want to do is impossible. You'll never be able to succeed. You know, you won't be healed. You won't be provided for. You won't be protected. People tell you that, but you can't believe that. You have to believe the report of the Lord. Amen. You have to believe what God says is true. And then you can enter into God's rest, knowing that even though we go through a difficult time, Amen. That at the end, our faithfulness will pay off.
Right.
And then we read the same thing in verse 1 of chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering to his rest, any of you should seem to come short of. You know, we don't want to be short of the promises of God. Let us therefore fear, you know, to have holy fear of God, to trust the Lord, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. No, the word, the promise of God, must be mixed with faith. Must be mixed with the faith. So we can hear the promises of God. But if we don't believe the promises of God and mix it with faith, then it does nothing. And then I'd like to look at one more, because sometimes when we're trusting in the Lord, this chapter also talks about the children of Israel. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 talks about the children of Israel when they're in the desert. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you all should be ignorant how that all, he's talking about the children of Israel in the desert, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all did eat of that same spiritual meat, the manna, and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So, you know, he's talking about the children of Israel that were in the desert. Verse 5 says, but with many, or with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. They died in the wilderness. They didn't go into the promised land because of their lack of faith. Well, verse 9 says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted. They were destroyed with serpents, talking about the children of Israel when they murmured. It says, verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. And this is what is important for us to know, that these children of Israel that suffered so much loss, that didn't get into the promised land. It says, now these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition. They're written to warn us upon whom the ends of the world shall come. So this is talking about the last days believers. They're written for examples. They're written as examples for us, for our admonition. For our admonition, of whom the ends of the world, the last days have come. And then when, you know, sometimes you're going through a trial and you just think it's more than I can handle. It's way more than I can handle. But you know what we can do? We can go on and read what it says right here in verse 13. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation, the trial, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, when we're going through fiery, difficult trials, when it looks impossible, when the world or our friends or even our own self sometimes, you know, says, this looks impossible. This is difficult. And it's not only difficult, it's impossible for me. Right. The Lord is putting me through more than I can handle. You say, no, no. The Word of God says that God is faithful. He will not suffer me. He will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation, will with the trial, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. We kind of grab onto that and say, Lord, I know this is difficult. In the world's eyes, it looks impossible. Even in my eyes, it looks impossible. But I know that you're not going to test me above that I am able. You know? You know, so many of us have not gone into the promised land. So many of us have not received all that the Lord has promised us because of our fear or because of our unbelief. So we're still in the wilderness. You know, we have listened to the wrong thing. God's word is true. And anything that doesn't agree with the word of God is a lie. You know, Brother Rusty was telling us this on Sunday. You know, if God's word is true and the devil is using somebody else to tell you the opposite, it's a lie. And the devil is a liar. You know, we may still be in the wilderness because of our past. You know, we still may be going through difficult trials and difficult times. But when the old man is dead, we will enter in. When that old doubting man is dead, we will enter into the promises. You know, God will not tempt us above what we are able. And that new man, that new, just like the children came into the promised land. That children is kind of a picture of us, you know, as born again, new men. And the old man is dead and gone. You know? But one of the things, I just was thinking about this as I was finishing up. I'll be finishing up in a quick second. The children of Israel were religious people. You know, everything they thought in religious ways, you know. Everything that happened was because of God. If it didn't rain, it's because, you know, God held back the rain. If somebody got sick, it was because God didn't heal them. If the crops were good and there was a lot of food, then God was blessing. You know, God was in all their thoughts. We read in Psalms 10:4 that God is not in all the thoughts of the wicked, you know. And sometimes that's the way we are. God is not in all our thoughts. We're thinking about other things. You know, if it doesn't rain, then we think, well, maybe we know the science behind it. You know, the clouds are not there, or it's not. We think about something and make it from the scientific point of view. We know too much. the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, they didn't know too much. It was God. If the crops didn't come in, it was God. If our crops don't come in, it's maybe because the land wasn't fertile or the fertilizer they used wasn't strong enough. You know, we try to put some science into it. We try to make it, you know, we try to explain it. Instead of just saying, well, it's all God. It's all God. Pardon? That's right. It's all God. God is in control. You know, we've kind of stepped back from that. We're not the same religious people that the children of Israel were. We should change. We need to be just like the children of Israel and put everything into God's hands, you know, thinking of God all the time. Amen. You know, that's why when we were overseas, when you don't have all the science, you don't have a great medical profession, you don't have grocery stores and Kmart and Walmart or all these grocery stores that are so full of groceries, you have to trust the Lord. You know, I remember when Betsy used to go shopping, I mean, she didn't know what she was going to find. You know, we would pray when she was in Russia that the Lord would bless her with what she needed to buy, and God always provided. If somebody got sick, we didn't want to go to the doctor. We didn't want to go to the hospital because we knew the conditions of the hospital and the doctor. It was better to trust in the Lord. I mean, the Word of God was really true. It was better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. But, you know, we've kind of stepped back away from that because we have science and we have knowledge and we have, you know, we know so much that, you know, if we don't have food, it's because the grocery store shelves are empty. You know, if we can't go anywhere, it's because the price of gas is too expensive. But when really we should say, well, God provides. If we, you know, we're not going to look to the world. We're not going to look to man. We're going to look to the Lord. And we need to be more like that, that God needs to be in all our thoughts. In everything we think, in everything we do, we don't have to explain it by science or explain it because of the politics or the what's going on in society. God is in all our thoughts. And, you know, when it looks like things are bad with inflation and the price of gas and evil in the world and war in Ukraine and Russia, we just, well, God is in all my thoughts. God's in control. Amen? So that's... And when God is in all your thoughts, you can believe the promises of God. And no matter what you go through, no matter what the problem is, if God is in all your thoughts, then you continue to trust Him. Amen? Amen. So let's then close. Father, we do thank You. We do thank You that You do correct us and that You do give us an opportunity, even if we miss it the first time, even if we don't enter the promised land, even if we don't believe the promise, Lord, we do know that after the trial of our faith, we will enter in. And we do know that once we put our old sinful flesh to death, that sinful man who doesn't have God in all his thoughts, when we put him to death, when we let him just die out and we trust in our Lord Jesus as a born-again believer, that new self, that new man, can walk in all the promises that you've given us. So, Father, we do thank You. We thank You for Your precious promises. We thank You for Your chastisement. We thank You for Your love and Your peace. We thank You, Lord, that You do, as we trust in You, make every promise that You've given us true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord.